Well, we're going to read now from the Bible. We've been working through a book in the New Testament. That's the section after Jesus had come into the world. And we're working through the book of Romans. And it's a book that's all about being right with God, finding peace with God. And the section that we're reading today is basically saying that we don't find being right with God through just the performance of rituals. So let's just read it together. Some of it might feel a little bit complex, but we'll read it together and then we'll talk about it together. So Paul says this. He says, and when he's talking about this blessing, he's talking about the blessing of being right with God. And he says there, "Is this blessing then only for the circumcised," that's what the Jews were circumcised, "or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised." Well, it never ceases to amaze me how attached people get to certain rituals. You can see on your screen there a bunch of people standing around a blanket there, and they're all looking up, ready to catch something. Believe it or not, what they're standing up, standing there looking up, ready to catch, is a baby. This is literally part of a baby throwing ritual in Grish Neshwar Temple in the Indian state of Maharashtra. You can look this up on YouTube and you can watch it. I'm not making this up. And what literally happens in this ritual is babies between the age of 1 and 2 are thrown from a tower into a blanket, and it is seriously believed that this will make the child more intelligent and luckier than other babies, and healthier as well than other babies. And this is a ritual still practiced today. It is bizarre to think that people would still do this kind of thing, but they do. This one here is a more ancient ritual. What you have there suspended up here along a cliff top is actually a burial site. It's a practice of the former Bo people in southwest China. It's a people that no longer exist. And they're still working out why they used to bury their dead like that, but they did. They would suspend them up along a cliff's edge. It's amazing the kind of appeal that rituals have had across societies for centuries. And I mean, rituals actually for thousands of years have had a great deal of appeal. And of course, rituals have often been religious. And it's not uncommon in religions for people to make a connection between the performance of a certain ritual and their own salvation. Okay, what you have here, for example, is an example of a ritual that's called self-flagellation. Now, this I chose this image because it was less gruesome than some of the other ones that there were. people whipping themselves in order to atone for sin. And this is a ritual that is practiced across a variety of religions, self-flagellation. Now, of course, the rituals that people participate in aren't always that way out or that bizarre. But my point is just that we can be a people that become very attached to rituals, even rituals that you would think nobody would possibly pursue. But we do. We can become very attached to rituals. And throughout history and across cultures, people have imagined that the performance of certain rituals will make them right with God. Now, as I say, those rituals aren't necessarily as bizarre as all that. I mean, there are many rituals that aren't bad. The Bible, for example, talks about baptism. It talks about baptism, and the Bible talks about the Lord's Supper. And those rituals, they are good rituals. There's nothing wrong with those. But what is different about Christianity compared to the other religions is that the Bible makes it totally clear that none of these rituals can save you. And that's what we have in our passage for tonight. Okay, in our passage for tonight, Paul is answering the question, are we made right with God through rituals? Is being right with God about doing certain rituals? We've been working through this book of Romans together, if you've been with us in previous weeks, and Paul has just said that we can actually know the blessing of forgiveness. And so now Paul asks in verse 9, does this blessing only belong to a certain group of people? He says, is this blessing... It's the next one. Right. He says, is this blessing only for the circumcised or is it also for the uncircumcised? Or what he's saying is, does this blessing of forgiveness only belong to a certain group of people who've done the right ritual? What Paul is doing here is he's saying, we know that we can be right with God. We know that. But is being right with God only for the Jews? See, the Jews, God had asked them to circumcise their sons. And so they did. On the eighth day after birth, every Jewish boy would be circumcised. And Paul is saying, well, is being right with God something that you only get if you've been circumcised? In other words, if you've performed the right ritual. And Paul says, no, not the case at all. And what he does is he goes on and he proves this by looking at an example, the example of Abraham, the very, very first Jew. And he says, let me prove this to you. I'll show you from the Bible. I'll show you from Abraham himself, the first Jew. He says, we know that Abraham was counted righteous because of his faith. What he's talking about there is the time in Genesis chapter 15 when God saw that Abraham trusted in him. And God, it says, counted him as being righteous because of his faith. He counted him as being right with him, not because he's never sinned, but just because he had faith, because he trusted in him. And what Paul goes on to say is he says, well, when then was Abraham counted as right with God? Was it before or after he was circumcised? When was he counted as right with God? Which one, before or after he was circumcised? Now, can you see where he's going with this? What's he getting at here? Well, Paul is saying, let's think this through. Was Abraham counted as right with God after he was circumcised? Is that why Abraham was counted as right with God. Was it because he'd already performed this ritual? Therefore, God says, because of that, you're right with me. Was it because of circumcision? And Paul gives his answer, okay? He says, actually, okay, he's asking the question, wasn't before or after he was circumcised? And he says, it was not after he was circumcised, but before he was circumcised that he was counted as right with God. See, before Abraham had ever performed any religious rituals, God said, I count you as righteous. Before Abraham was circumcised, God said, I count you as right with me. See, Paul's making the point that it wasn't actually the ritual that made Abraham right with God. Abraham was only right with God because of his faith. That's why he was right with God. Abraham was right with God only because he trusted in the Lord. See, friends, it is by faith, and it is by faith alone that you are made right with God. You know, we like to think that things like being baptized, or taking the Lord's Supper, or going to church, or reading our Bible every morning, or saying the Lord's Prayer, or becoming a member of a church, bowing our heads when we pray, saying Amen at the end of prayers, or any kind of those sorts of, we like to think that those sorts of things will make us right with God, or at least contribute. But the Bible says, no, none of those things can make you right with God. Are all of those things good? Sure they are. All of those things are good. But none of them make us right with God or contribute to our being right with God in any way whatsoever. Because the only thing that is good enough to make us right with God is Christ. It's Jesus. And what he's done to pay for our sins, that's the only thing that is actually good enough to make us right with God, not our own rituals. And so finding righteousness with God is about trusting Christ, Jesus, not ourselves. So, friends, I just want to be really clear with you tonight that you can actually be a really religious person. You can be at church every week. You can do the right things. You can perform the right rituals. You can know the right Bible verses. You can be really religious. And you can be on your way to hell. And I know that's a confronting thing to say, but I just want to be honest with you because there's so much confusion at this point. There are so many people going to church and getting baptized and praying the Lord's Prayer and eating the Lord's Supper on their way to hell. You say, how can that be? How can they be going, all of those are good things. Yes, they are good things. But our sins can't be atoned for through rituals. They just can't be atoned for through rituals. Our sins are atoned for through Christ. That's who atones for our sins. And so we need to trust in him, not in our rituals. It's through trusting in Jesus and in Jesus alone that we are made right with God. And so a really important question to ask yourself is, are you right with God? Are you right with God? And if so, why do you think you're right with God? Is it because you're here tonight? Is it because you read your Bible? It's not what's going to make you right with God. See, the real question is, do you trust in Christ alone for your salvation and not in yourself or anything that you have done? And so that's our first question for tonight. Are we made right with God by rituals? And the answer to that is no. Let me turn to another question, and that's this. And that's, why does Paul emphasize that we are saved by faith alone? This is a really big emphasis of Paul's, isn't it? If you've been with us in previous weeks, you'll notice that he's just been saying this and saying this and saying this. It's been the big focus of chapter 3 and chapter 4 of Romans, and he's still emphasizing it. Why? Why does Paul emphasize that so much? I just want to give you two answers here briefly. Firstly, salvation by faith alone, okay, meaning trusting in Jesus, that's how you're saved. Salvation by faith alone blesses you. Look back to verse 9. What's Paul asking? He's asking this. He's saying, is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? In other words, the question that he's trying to answer here is, who gets this blessing of forgiveness? Who gets this blessing of forgiveness through faith in Christ alone? Is it only for people who've done certain rituals or, you know, who gets this blessing? See, what he's saying is salvation through trusting in Christ alone rather than rituals, it's a blessing. That's what he's saying. It's a blessing. In other words, it brings you happiness. People who imagine that you get to God through hoop jumping, it doesn't actually bring blessing. It doesn't actually bring happiness. It just means that we're always looking in on ourselves. Have I ticked enough boxes to be right with God? Have I said enough prayers to be right with God? Have I read the Bible enough to be right with God? It just becomes this burden on me. Looking at yourself or looking at what you do over and over again, have I done enough? It just becomes this burden. But looking out at something far greater than you, that actually brings joy. He said it all, that there's something far more grand than me. And he's done it all. That's a blessing. And so salvation by faith alone, not through the performance of our own rituals, that's a blessing. That's what Paul's saying. And then, secondly and lastly, salvation by faith alone opens the way for all people to be right with God. This point, it's a point that, again, Paul makes in our passage. And Paul in our passage tells us why all of this matters so much. But why does it matter that Abraham was made right with God even before he was circumcised? What's the purpose of that? Well, Paul says, the purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well. Now that's a bit of a mouthful, but what he's saying there is that Abraham, in a very real sense, he wasn't just the father of the Jew. He wasn't just the father of the Jews, and he wasn't just the father of those people who perform a certain ritual circumcision. No, Abraham, he says, was the father of all who believe. And that's the point. Even if a person is circumcised, even if they're not a Jew, so they don't get circumcised, they're not a Jew, they can still believe. And they can, like Abraham, trust in the Lord alone for their salvation. And so, like Abraham, they can have God's righteousness counted to them as well. Right? They can have God's righteousness counted to them too. So you see why this matters. What Paul is saying here is that salvation was never meant only for Jews. That salvation was never meant only for this particular group of people that performed certain rituals. Salvation was always meant for those who trust in the Lord alone for their salvation.
And that's the foundation of being right with God. And that's something that can be received by any group of people in the world. Now, interesting thing about Christianity, really interesting thing about Christianity, is that when you look at Christian history, Christianity has expanded in a way that is different to every other religion. I think the example of Islam, the center of Islam, you know, where you have the majority of Muslims in the world, the center of Islam, it is still in the same place as where it originated, in the Middle East. The majority of Muslims in the world are still in the Middle East, okay? It's in the same place as its origin. It's the same with Hinduism as well. It's the same with Buddhism as well. It's the same with Confucianism as well. The place where these religions are strongest, I'm not saying they haven't gone elsewhere, but the place where these religions are strongest is still in the very place where they originate. But not so with Christianity. Christianity, as one person has put it, was first dominated by Jews in Jerusalem. Later, it was dominated by Hellenists, that's just another word for Greeks, and centered in the Mediterranean. Later, the faith was received by the barbarians of northern Europe, and Christianity became dominated by Western Europeans and the North Americans. Later, the faith was received, today, most Christians in the world, he goes on, live in Africa, Latin America, and Asia. Then he says, Christianity will soon be centered in the southern and eastern hemispheres. See, what he's saying is that the center of Christianity is just constantly moving about. The center of Christianity is just not tied to one particular location, it's not tied to one particular culture. And why is that? Well, the reason is because at the heart of Christianity was never a list of cultural rituals. At the heart of Christianity was never a list of rituals that particularly appeal to one group, but it is not so appealing to another group. Now, at the heart of Christianity is something very, very simple, and that is faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. Yes, Christianity does have some rituals, as I've said, baptism, Lord's Supper, so on. But these things have never been understood as what Christianity is centrally about. No, Christianity is centrally about faith in Jesus Christ, and the other things flow out from that. And so Christianity, it's just been this religion that's gone on everywhere. Because you don't have to belong to a particular cultural grouping to be a Christian. Right? You don't have to be born into a particular tribe to be a Christian. You don't have to have all sorts of secret knowledge of different things that you've got to do and certain boxes that you've got to tick to be a Christian. You're made right with God. Not by performing certain rituals, but simply by faith alone in Jesus Christ and what he's done to atone for our sins. And that really is a liberating.